Da-da-da-da-da. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and yes, you're at the right place at the right time here on Progressive News Weekly, where we bring you news and information that's gathered, called, if you will, from around the world. And we bring you news and information that's not typically brought on mainstream, whether it's radio or television. It's news that's inspired by you. It's news for you, by you, and of you. With that said, I'd like to encourage you again to continue sending me emails or reaching out by phone with topics and or guests that deserve to have their knowledge brought to the masses, because it is not something that today is typically being shared, and it is something that is worthwhile for the masses to know. As you know, I do vet anyone that does come to our airwaves, because we are grounded in truth. And so with that said, anyone that comes to our airwaves will be charged and challenged, and it's all good, because we do like to keep it real. We do like to keep it live. And with that said, today is no exception. This evening, we will be bringing to you a topic on energy. It's a fundamental topic, because without it, none of us would be here. It's been so overlooked. We think about energy, we think about, especially in the last 10 years, green energy, energy that does not deplete or degrade our planet. We've become much more conscious of that in the last 20 years, and with good reason. I remember as a young lad, there was the whole thing about aerosol spray and depleting the ozone. And at that time, it didn't seem like a big deal, I think, to many. We're talking about a hole in the ozone, and for many, it was a nebulous kind of a thing. It was vague at best, you know, what this meant and how that might impact us. Well, fast forward from then, we are there, here, at that point in time, where we have actually impacted the environment in which we live. And as some of the science fiction movies are depicting, we may find ourselves trying to locate other livable regions in the universe. So there's a couple science fiction movies out that depict that that scene. Day After Tomorrow, I believe, was one of them. So for those of you on the mail list, you know who our guest is going to be, because you have had privy. If not on the mail list, send me an email to Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, _ C-L-A, 1-8, at msn.com. And you could also send it to our email for the program, which is progressivenews@msn.com. That's Progressive News, progressive spelled out, news with an S, N-E-W-S, no spaces, at msn.com. And we'll add you to the mail list. And by the way, while you're sending me that, why don't you drop me a line or two with your thoughts about Progressive News and suggestions as to how we might enhance this program that is here for you, as I said, but will be by you and of you. So, for those of you on that mail list, you know that we're scheduled to have Ula Pasternak. And I say scheduled because Ula is traveling internationally. But she wanted to try to make the connection. We're not sure if we're going to be able to make it happen. And if not, well, we'll move on. I do have a couple of other guests, I won't mention names, that that might impromptu join us this evening. And so that would be a treat. Speaking of a treat, last week, Thursday, October the 30th, we had the incomparable Dick Gregory, and he did a special two-hour program with us. If you missed that, you'll want to go to the archives. I have been, well, I've known Dick for, I want to say, 15 years. It's not like we go out to dinner all the time. Don't misunderstand me, because I don't want to be misleading or deceptive in any way. We don't have it like that, although we talk from time to time, and I consider him a friend and a mentor, him and his family, in fact. And so he's been with me here as a supporter of Progressive News Weekly for over 5 years. We've been on approaching eight now. So I'd say 5 or 6 years he's been with us almost since the very beginning. So with that said, do make sure that you go to those archives. I mean, it's just so very, very important. He shared with us something. I'm laughing for a reason. He shared with us something that I think many of you just don't have any idea of. Of course, we talked about Ferguson, you know, because Ferguson, Missouri, is right outside of St. Louis. And for those of you who don't know, Dick Gregory was born and raised in St. Louis. So this was very near and dear to him. And he did spend a significant amount of time, and I venture to say he probably will be going back there again with regard to this whole debacle. So he gave us an interesting perspective of what's really going on and how this whole thing started over there. We talked about Ebola as well, which was also very interesting, something he shared with us about how that came about and what's happening with Ebola. So as you all know, Dick has an extensive research team. And he has, you know, he's come up with some things that I think that you'll want to know. I'm not going to get into the details. I will say that he mentioned regarding the Ebola that there are things that have been determined that can be done with regard to reversing that. And, of course, you won't hear that on mainstream, not too often, at least, if at all. So with that said, as I said, you want to catch that program next week. So for this week, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about energy. And we're slated to have, speaking of friends and colleagues, friend and colleague, Ula Pasternak. And she's traveling, but she's been gracious enough to offer to join us at some point. I believe we have her in studio, in fact, now. So without further ado, we're gonna bring Ula on. But I wanna bridge the backdrop of most months. When there's a full moon, we have that discussion about energies, life energies, not the kind of energies that I mentioned earlier, you know, green energy, going green and protecting the ozone and those things. But I mean energies that are driven from literally the heavens, the one that we all know about being the sun, but there are other energies. And so we want to talk about that some today. There are many cultures around the world that have embraced that for centuries, and it's been an enhancement to their lives. So we're going to talk a little bit about energy. Astrologically, we're in the sun sign of Scorpio. Ula hopefully will be able to share with us some other aspects of the sign of the times. Ula, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi. I know you're traveling. I want to start out with just saying thank you for being so gracious. And whenever you have to leave, and be careful, I hope you have us on speaker and, you know, the headset and that, and that you're being safe. So I know you're traveling, and I really, truly want to speak on behalf of all of our listeners and say just thank you for taking that time out to join us. You know, today is our full moon program. And in fact, it's not often that it happens that the full moon lands exactly on the day of our program, Ula. So this is really special. Yeah, it's really, really special. You know, I talked with Master Glenn, Dr. Glenn Mendoza, earlier this week. He's traveling around the country. I believe he said he was traveling out west. He may be leaving the States after that. And he was just sharing with me a couple of things. He asked if he could join us next week, and what am I going to say? No, you can't join us, because he wants to share with us some things about meditation. But in the meantime, share with me a couple of I'd like for you to bridge on the full moon. He mentioned this full moon, you know, of Scorpio, and he talked about the importance of meditating on the full moon, energies. I'm going to ask our engineer to mute you for just a moment. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead, and while we get hopefully a good connection with Ula, what Dr. Mendoza had shared was we are under the full moon of Scorpio. I mean, yes, the full moon of Scorpio. And with that, there are certain attributes, as there are certain attributes that are associated with every sign. And so he mentioned some of those attributes. But before going into that, I had some questions, as I often do when I speak with Dr. Mendoza or whenever I meet with Dr. Mendoza, because he is truly a wealth of knowledge, and I truly do feel blessed that he would take me on as a protege to, you know, guide me in you know, some of the universal ways that he has been so kind to do. So with that said, he had mentioned that, as he does often, but for some of our new listeners, he had mentioned that it is so important that we understand that those energies are universal energies, and they're not just energies that we as humans utilize. For example, the trees, as we say, Mother Earth utilizes these same energies. And that's why I mention that grand source that we're all familiar with is the sun. And so that's one of the reasons why we refer to the signs as a sun sign. And I'm going to ask Ula, when she returns, if she'll expound on that some. As some of you know, Ula is a master in Reiki energy, and she also has a center that she has founded as well. And with that, she has become quite respected nationally for her acumen in human energy. And her center, if you would like to Google her, we'll give her an opportunity also to give you her reach information, is known as the Unity Center for Empowered Living. So hopefully we'll have her back shortly, but in the interim, let's see if we do we have her? No, I thought we had her in the studio. In the interim, I just want to mention just a few of the attributes, just a few of the attributes of the sun sign of Scorpio. For those of you who are Scorpios, you won't be surprised at this. Often, the sign of Scorpio is related to being a very sexy sign, one that is related to the reproductive areas of an individual. They're known to be very intense. The word that is often utilized as opposed to sexy and sexual is passionate and intense individuals. They can be emotional. They can be sensitive as well in that emotion. They can be secretive. You'll find many detectives that are Scorpios. They're good at detective work. And one thing, and I'll just stop here, they're often mysterious. And within that mystery, they are often magnetic as well. They tend to draw individuals. And if you think about the Scorpios that you may know, they kind of have that mystique about them. But there's another aspect of this energy period that we're in. I just spoke about the sun sign that we're under right now. But we are also under a moon sign. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. So I don't know if you heard of, I was just talking a little bit about the aspects of Scorpio, but we're also under a moon sign, right? Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I appreciate your introducing the sun sign Scorpio and the intensity and the courage to dig deeper into the mysteries, even the intense and maybe the dark and the in between the dimensions, and having the courage to feel and learn and grow. The moon is in the sign of Taurus, and Taurus can be intense in a different way because it's an earth sign. So it can be very strong, it can be very stable, and it can be very sensual. Like you mentioned, the Scorpio can be sexual. Well, Taurus can be sensual, and it can focus on pleasures in life, and beauty and food and very practical signs. So the moon sign is what opens us up to the particular frequencies that come in to support the sun energy. And
would you repeat that? Can you repeat what you just said? The moon sign helps to open. I just need to repeat that. You know, I can be thick, and that's
okay.
A good thing for our listeners, because I know some of them miss these
okay.
things as well.
Well, it's a tandem. I mean, the sun and the moon always work together.
Always,
it just
yes.
so happens that during full moon, the moon sign gets to be in its glory and open us up to more specific supportive energies of life force coming in to help us be more precise in our transformation, in our manifestation, in our healing, in our tune-up, clean-up, fill-up of energies that we want to use to create the life that we want. So we can use the aspect of Taurus to focus on that particular set of helpful, enhancing energies that are coming in for us, because the moon illuminates our dark, and the moon reflects all the other light, including the sun. So, in a way, the moon reflects all the suns for us. And that is why we, in many cultures and shamanic, especially shamanic cultures, we focus on the full moon as the life force. And some skilled shamans actually fill up with the moon life force only once a year for themselves, and can use the other moons, full moons, to flow that moon energy to create something positive for others or for nature. For the planet.
Ula, did you say other moon?
The other full moon energy. So of the skills, yeah, some of the skills, amazing teachers and shamans can use only one full moon for themselves, but still flow the energy of the other 12 full moons to help this world.
You mean the other 11?
The other, we have 13 full moons.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. That's true.
Come on. 12 months.
I don't think people realize that, and I had to really regroup on that one, because I do remember. yes, that's true. I stand corrected. How can I correct the teacher? Well, it's always good to ask. So then you're saying that there are those that utilize, and this ties back to this whole utilizing the energy of the attributes for a given sign. You're saying that there are those that can use a full moon that is under their sign, but then they can also utilize, similar to the sun energy that we've been talking about for months or years, they can also utilize other full moons that are not of their own sign?
Well, they can utilize one full moon for themselves, for their life force, but then use the other full moon energies, not for themselves, but to help others.
Ah, okay, I got it.
Yeah. So the full moon energy is very rejuvenating and very, very powerful. And that is why so many societies celebrate, have ceremonies, have special meals, have gatherings to connect to that energy as a not only individual, but as a community, as a family, as a tribe. So everyone can harness the blessings that flow into our world, onto our planet from the heavens?
You know, it ties back, coming back to, you know, Master Glenn, Dr. Mendoza, it ties back to some of the things that he does talk about. And I mentioned he will be joining us. I believe he's planning to join us next week, and maybe we can talk through some of this again. But he was talking about reasons participating during the and he listed specific reasons. All right, so hopefully you can still hear us, Ula. I just muted your speaker. But what Dr. Mendoza, Master Glenn, often talks about with regard to the reasons for meditating on the full moon is, one, utilizing the divine energy. And also he talks about the fact that it serves as a focal point. You mentioned communities of interest, all focusing at the same time. I was reading something earlier today that said, imagine if everyone cared about each other as though they were a brother or sister that they loved as if they were their own blood-loving brother and sister. And it went on to say that it would probably be a different planet. And so any time that we can galvanize around a common point, there's energy in that. And so he was saying that's one of the benefits, a very obvious but often overlooked benefit of the full moon. How often do people look up and say, oh, it's a full moon? Right now as we're speaking, there are tens of thousands, and I would dare say millions possibly, thought about the fact that it's a full moon, you know, depending on how clear the sky is across, say, America right now, on the eastern coast where it's gotten dark and the moon is, you know, right now we're having overcast because of rain. But just how many people are aware just from their calendars of the fact that it's a full moon? So you have that many people with a common thought. And, of course, there's energy in thought because everything that we see and hear comes from thought. That's energy. So he talked about these seven qualities and benefits of meditating during the full moon, and one was just that galvanizing piece. He also talked about absorbing the positive qualities of the sign, and I'll get into that a little bit later because there are positive qualities associated with each particular month. Just like you were saying with the Taurus and with the Scorpio. So that's a benefit of meditating during the full moon, because that energy is at its peak during the full moon. And he talked about speaking about that peak, the tremendous amount of energy that's available. And he talks about the auras and chakras. And as you said, energizing our entire being, literally bathing in the energy of the great light. So those are just a few of the things that he talked about in terms of the benefits of meditating during the full moon. I'm going to unmute your mic, Ola. Hopefully we've gotten rid of some of that static. I know you're traveling. Ola?
Yes?
Still, okay, so the static's gone down. It was so loud I had to mute your mic.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I just found that interesting what you were just saying about, are you there? About the energies being utilized, moon being utilized for others. not just for ourselves. Because when we talk about the sign utilizing attributes, we often talk about being able to utilize the attributes of that sun for ourselves. But with the moon, heard you say, if that moon sign isn't in your particular birth sign, then you can use that those energies to help someone else.
And that is how we can help this world even more effectively every time we have the 7 days of the full moon.
What do you mean seven days?
Well, the full moon energy is accessible for us 3 days before the day off and 3 days after the full moon. So we can connect and do fill up and repair and reconstruction for 7 days. Every time we approach the 28-day moon cycle. So we get these divine moon shots of life force that we can harness and take care of ourselves or contribute to how we take care of each other and this world.
Okay. I love that aspect of the moon component. Now, let me ask you, the sign of Scorpio, water sign. I know that. I know the water signs. I'm a water sign. And Pisces, I believe, is the other. And then
Cancer.
The sign of Taurus is an earth sign, correct?
Correct.
So doesn't that make it very synergistic right now that you have the moon in an earth phase and the sun in a water phase? Is there something to that that makes it extra special?
Well, we can always try to make things extra special, but every full moon has, like you mentioned, the attributes. So we can synergistically focus on the earth grounding energies and the water life-giving energies to create and our shifts. I mean, that synergy supports the transformation that we want to see in our world as the elections, as the protests continue throughout the world asking for more fairness, more sharing of wealth, more respect for nature, more kindness and consideration for each other, for life. And it is supported by the synchronicity of the astrological signs of the full moon and of the elemental frequencies of earth and water.
So then there is, as you say, the synchronicity or that energy, the two attributes, one feeds. I'll mute that. Let me make sure our listeners understand that they're always invited to join the dialogue. If there's anyone that is interested in having a comment or a question, please press 1 on the dial. And if you happen to be in through your computer and you want to join in via telephone, the number would be 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. And I certainly welcome and encourage any comments or questions for Ula or myself with regard to this dialogue on energy Now let's see if we can get Ula back. I just muted her again to take us to just a little bit more depth on this topic.
I'm back.
Ula, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so now, next question. When we're talking about energy, we know our bodies are electric. I've seen the studies that if they could harness the electricity in our body, we could light a city block and the like. A little bit of... Ula, you there? I think we may have.
Down?
Yes. Yes. Talk with us about that energy, if you will. I know you're a Reiki master, for example. And I know the listeners, some do not understand, in all fairness. They just don't understand. What are we talking about when we're saying energy? Is it something that we can feel, something that we can literally consciously harness? Can we take it classroom with and use it to help? How do we enter?
Are you still able to hear me?
Yes. The question is, how do we tap into that energy? Now, I'm speaking to our neophytes, those who just don't understand this conversation. And I don't want them out of, you know, respectfully saying this, out of lack of knowledge to be afraid or to shy away from something that may be beneficial. So I want them to gain a level of understanding. How can they literally use this energy that's available to them?
Well, it takes faith and trust and practice.
Ah, there's the key word.
Yeah. Every one of us can rub our hands vigorously, and then as we slightly take them apart, there will be warmth. There will be tingling between our hands. Because we've created magnetic and electric energy with friction. So, like you said, we are electrical beings, and we trust that electricity flows. I mean, we can electrocute ourselves and give ourselves electric shock. We can see electricity as light coming out of our light fixtures, or the TV or radio transmissions. I mean, they are, or even using the cell phones. I mean, it's all based on electricity. It's based on sending and receiving energy. It's based on accepting that something invisible can be used to create something physical that we can use. And that extends to us connecting to the different frequencies that flow into our planet or that the planet generates. So we can connect to it, use it for ourselves, or allow it to flow through us and send it out to others, whether it is through touch, whether it is through good intention and telepathy and using our consciousness, whether we use it for astral travel, whether we use it for astral projection. I mean, some of those words might be unfamiliar, but electricity or magnetic energy usually is familiar to everyone. Well, we have magnetic energy in us. We have electrical energy in us. And we can tune ourselves up to to connect to specific frequencies and flow that particular frequency as electricity through us. And that is how we connect to through meditation or meditative state. And that is how we can send or receive long-distance healing. And that is how we can come together as a group to shift frequencies in a family or community through meditating together. Does that
All right, help? So I heard you say, for example, something that I think most listeners can relate to, healing. And I also recognize at the very beginning of that question, your answer said faith, trust, and practice is important.
Yes.
Just like it's important.
If we gain a new skill, we need to train it to be not only more confident and comfortable, but like build those energetic muscles so that we can be of better use for others and for ourselves too. I mean, we are electrical beings. We can share that with others. And that's why we can harness some of that moon energy for ourselves and then connect to it and flow that full moon energy for others and help them if they cannot help themselves or choose not to help themselves.
How can we flow it to others? Give me a specific example. Just by saying to yourself, I'm flowing this to my sister or my neighbor or my brother. How?
Absolutely. Some of it will go out. Now, it can be less intense or it can be more intense. And the more intense are with training, with teachers, with different lineages. There are many wise teachers and shamans and different cultures have medicine people who have been aware and trained and given authority to use tools, whether they're techniques, modalities, rituals, prayers, meditation techniques, to have a more focused and more intense ability to flow these energies.
So it's like an individual who never knew how to pray. I'm just simplifying this because prayer is, you know, very simple. But for some, prayer can be complicated if they've never done it.
Just
who am I talking to? You know, I've heard those questions. What do I say? You know, but then, as you said, with some guidance and simplification, I could envision that an individual can utilize these energies through that guidance and simplification.
We have five external senses. I mean, we bring in stimuli from the outside to process this inside, and then we can flow it out again. So whether it is through a kind word or singing or humming, we can offer that specific frequency out of us. And the same with focused intention on healing. I know that I get frequently comments that when I touch someone with intention to connect to the healing energies, that my hands are very hot. And I don't feel them as hot, but my clients feel them as that there is heat coming through my hands. I'm just like, well, okay, I hope you enjoy it. And sometimes I can tune into the frequencies and I can feel tingling in different parts of my body. Or I can, again, different training gives us different skills and different reference points. So we can interpret how intense the flow is in us. You've mentioned Reiki. Reiki is a Japanese healing technique, and it can be just for the physical body, or it can be more intense and more pure, and that is called the enselfic ray. And it can be enselfic ray healing modality. So there are different levels of training, and with that come different levels of precision, how to focus, connect, focus, and send out that electrical flow through us. Does that help?
That helps an enormous amount, and it reinforces actually also some of the conversation for our regular listeners that Dr. Mendoza speaks of when he speaks about pranic healing. It's another form of energetic healing. So it makes nothing but sense. And as you said, you can't see electricity. You see a light that comes on, but you can't.
Well,
you can't see a current.
Shock yourself.
What did you say?
You can feel it. You can feel it when you shock yourself.
Well, yeah, that's true. Literally. Literally. So.
Well, we feel pain. We feel pleasure. We feel pain. I mean, and they flow through our sensors, our neurons, and our electrical organ is our brain. So. We don't need anatomy lessons to trust that there is electricity in us. We bump our elbow and we go, ow! Well, there was an electric shock. The
same and, you know, that
way,
kind of what you just described, people don't think about it.
You know, or something sharp. I mean, that is an electric shock.
It's true.
Based on that information.
Which is energy.
Which is energy.
Information. It's intangible. You can't see it. You can think it. And it's energy. And that's what I was trying to get to, Ula. I really was trying to make it that the average individual who has no concept and even questions this modality could understand. And when you just consider a thought as energy, I think the simplest of simple can understand that. And I
yes.
Every time we have this discussion, bring this up because there are so many naysayers about this topic. You know, everything from that doesn't make any sense to, oh, this is something, you know, the dark spirits. You know, and you get that. And what people, I believe, are doing is they're closing themselves off, especially those, I'm concerned, of a religious background. I have that concern. And I know that firsthand. I'm a believer in Christ, and I read my Bible regularly. But I therefore have numerous friends and colleagues who are very, very religious. And I'm concerned that they're cutting themselves out from this very important knowledge.
But going to church,
they are
uplifting us and helping us connect to the higher frequency, to be uplifted, to reconfigure our sadness and negativity, to connect again. So how do we connect? I mean, how do we receive the blessings? The priest's words? I don't know. Well, maybe he is flowing divine energy for us.
Well,
maybe the singing, which I so enjoyed in church, maybe that is a messenger of angels, you know, music of the spheres.
Well, I'm going to venture out and go beyond maybe. I'm just going to say it. We know it is, but I understand what you're saying with a maybe. In other words, we're asking them to consider that. And just to really put it out there, folks, that's really what's going on, as Eula has just explained it. So you've used it whether you know it or not, in other words. Is that fair to say, Eula?
Absolutely. But even though they are naysayers, they still flow it. They still receive it. It just maybe not understanding how we describe it or how they connect to it. Maybe they cannot describe it to themselves and therefore cannot describe it to us. So
there you are.
It's about lack of communication, but it happens. Just like you know, we try to understand how electricity works and direct current or DC, AC.
Yes.
Trust that it does. The same with faith. Do we believe there is a higher being or higher energy? Do we call it light or creator or God? It's based on faith. And that faith creates trust. And that trust creates thought. That flow, create that connection and flow, whatever needs to flow for us to create and reconfigure and regenerate and recalibrate and be able to continue the flow. Without the flow, we die and this world dies. And we have many different mechanisms that sustain life in this world. Some that come from the outside and some that are joined here to co-create and some that this world generates to take care of itself.
You know, I'm a believer that, as I just mentioned, that people utilize it, every individual, one level or another. I think that what we may be talking about, maybe we are, utilizing it at another level. Was looking at something everyone can relate to. I was looking, I was kind of browsing online on the computer, and they had the 51 richest individuals in the country by state. And so I think people want to relate to things like health and wealth. You know, that's what the average, you know, I mean, we have those, of course, who are of a deeper concern. The concern for their humankind, the concern for Mother Earth. But most, I would venture to say, are interested in health and wealth, because from that they say, well, I can be comfortable, and I can be comfortable for my loved ones, and all the other stuff, you know, all that other religion and stuff, you know, that's all well and good. Give me health and wealth. So this energy, well, I would to say that those 51, you know, wealthiest in their have utilized these, whether they even know it or not. And I would venture to say a number of them are utilizing some of these principles consciously. It's like what Dr. Wright offered with us. And he says, you all would be surprised. Now, Dr. Wright, for our list, is our resident numerologist. And speaks of energy. And he says, my clients, buy it. And probably that's the same. But to our listeners, you're utilizing it one way or the other anyway. Why not take an added benefit? This certainly doesn't take away. It can only add. Is that fair to say, Eula?
The creative forces that come in that we can tap into and create our health, create our wealth, create the beauty, create comfort, create kindness, create passion, create anything we want, because the flow is here. When we tap into it to live and create the life that we live. Now, it can be comfortable or uncomfortable, and then we need to come up with a plan how to shift it and create what we want and rearrange and shift out of what we don't want. The creation happens. I like to utilize a phrase that change is inevitable, but growth is optional. We have choices and many options. So it is not if, it's what choose and how quickly we can make it happen.
Change is inevitable, but growth is optional.
Creation happens. How much can I be in charge of that creation? How much can I co-create with my higher self and the higher frequencies that come here? And do I only create for myself, and my family? Or can I create for myself, my community, myself, and extend it to help other humans and animals and plants and earth? And I mean, am I restricted to just me, or am I able, willing, and happy to contribute to the bigger area and farther reach to help others?
You know, I was talking earlier about the meditation, getting back to meditation, if you will, and those seven benefits of the meditating, especially during the full moon. And one of the I mentioned, I don't know, was the galvanizing, the harmonious galvanizing of one of drawing one combined positive energy. And so with that, you know, I would say for our listeners as a takeaway, let's give it a trial. I have seen the studies coming from some of the major educational institutions, Harvard and Yale, Princeton, that, and these are your Ivy League, not to mention, you know, Cornell and some of the other, Ohio State, I can't leave them out. I mean, we can go on and on, Rutgers, Penn State, I can go, you know, every state in the nation, UCLA, every institution now has done studies that have confirmed that those who are thought of positively fare better than those who are not. And that includes prayer. And in fact, I was actually referring to prayer when I said that. And you mentioned, Ula, earlier that we can take these energies, especially those full moon energies, if it's not of our sign, and use them to help others. Well, studies now, if you want to take it to a scientific level, have confirmed individuals who are prayed for fare better than those who are not. So with that said, the proof is now there. I'm going to charge and challenge everyone to collectively pray for our family, pray for our communities, pray for our nation, pray for this world. All of the above. And if you'd like, in that order. Of course, don't forget yourself. Let's not forget ourselves. Because we are the center of our universe. You've heard that term, some people can't handle it, the God in us. Well, it is. It is true. So we need to pray for ourselves, our families, our communities, our nation, turmoil throughout all of those, starting with ourselves. And let's just make a conscious effort. And it doesn't take hours. It just takes a few moments. That's the charge that I put out to the listeners. What do you think about that, Bella?
Let's make it so. The more of us caring for each other and sending positive wishes for each other creates a unified field of that good intention and good wishes, and that resonates. And that entrains itself with the other energies that are supporting us in this world and all the living beings here. So let's make it so. Amen.
Amen. Orla, what do you have for us before we close this segment in terms of what's happening on the GMO front? We know you're a GMO expert respected around the nation for your acumen and hard work with regard to GMO. What's going on?
Well, we lost in Colorado the vote for labeling. It is still, the votes in Oregon are very close race, so that we probably will not hear until, well, maybe tomorrow. One county in California has banned the planting of GMOs. Other than that, new election year, and we start over, bigger and better than ever.
But would you say it's fair to say that there's more awareness than ever before?
Absolutely. And the biotech companies are under huge attack from the farmers, from consumers, from scientists. So it is all the higher level of awareness and the efforts that all the grassroots movements are contributing to the raised consciousness level and information and education. And it is all part of bringing more light into this world and taking care of each other and being more accountable for creating life and not destroying it, and without destroying other parts of ourselves and the world. I mean, you and I focus on offering healing to this planet, and eating, planting, harvesting GMOs kills life and destroys health. And that is what we will, not if, it's when, we will be able to pass the labeling law. It's not if, it's when. And let's pray together, it's sooner than later.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm glad to hear that we're making inroads, that it's even at a minimum being brought forward to the floor in many states that even 5 years ago wouldn't have been thought of.
Exactly.
So we are moving in the right direction. And as sure as the listeners on this call, whether it's 10 or 10,000, not sure what the numbers are now, as sure as they're educated, and each one of them will share with someone who will share with someone, it's going to continue to spread and with that germinate for the best and goodwill of all. And that's encouraging.
And the better health for the whole world.
Absolutely. Well, we've come to the end of another program, and I know I started out with this. I can't thank you enough for taking the time out. Would you share with us, a reach information? I know you talked about, helping individuals if they want to take that practice, because as you said, it's about faith, trust, and practice. You put it so well. Those three things, those are important with anything, in fact, that we believe in or want to believe in. And so I know you're doing good work with your Unity Center for Empowered Living. How would a person touch base with you, Yula?
Well, the phone number is 610-287-2714. Or email theucenter.com, theucenter.com.
theucenter.com. That's wonderful. Well, again, we thank you for joining us. I wish you safe travels and a productive and enjoyable stay on that which you are going for. And until we meet again, which hopefully won't be too long, we have end of the month, a holiday coming up. Maybe we can come together again before then or shortly thereafter.
All right.
So we've been talking with Ula Pasternak, and she's a regular friend of Progressive News Weekly and personally a colleague, someone that I have high respect for. She's the founder of the Unity Center for Empowered Living. She's a wellness expert, and she specializes in human energy. She's respected nationally for her acumen and her work to bring awareness to the genetically modified food and adulterated food that is being proliferated around the country and the world. And she's truly an advocate for the people at large, Yula Pasternak. And so we hope that she'll be able to join us again. In the meantime, I encourage you to tell someone about Progressive News Weekly and catch the archive at blogtalkradio.com/Renford. And then you'll just scroll down on that screen until you see Daryl's Progressive News Weekly. By the way, there are lots of other very, very good programming on the Radio by Renford Network, all intended to encourage and empower and inspire you and enlighten you. So do check out some of the other programs on Progressive News, on Radio by Renford Network. And tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. Keep in mind, we're all in this together. All in this. Until next week. Like berries on the vine, it gets
the whole